The following message is by Pastor Jason Drapeau, Senior Pastor of Winchester Community Church in West Seneca, New York. More information about Winchester Community Church can be found at www.wincc.org.
The world is filled with many conflicts, wars, battles, and fights that rage and roar. This is one that came immensely close to one man's home. Let me share with you. His was a fight that came seeking his life. He had to flee his own homeland as vicious and vile men came to destroy his very soul. He escaped into a strange land, walking down every street, entering every store, turning every corner. He could almost feel the natives peering through him. He couldn't just tell that he was an outcast in this, a foreign land. He could feel it. Yet for a time, being an outcast in a foreign land is the only place he felt safe. He had no more safety in his own home. He was seeking refuge among the rabble rubble wherever refuge could be found. His was also a flight that had to be quick, spry, spontaneous. He fled to one place, and no sooner had left than he realized that a secret spy, slouching in the corner, had snitched on him and brought his assailants right to his last known location. His was a legitimately place where he felt safe, nowhere, it seemed. And his was also a peril that was not alone, for it wasn't just one gang of murderous men came seeking for his life, there were many. Poor guy, he had to flee one time, true story, from one battle, from one enemy, and right into another battle against a different enemy altogether. This guy wasn't safe in his hometown, he wasn't safe in enemy land. Can you imagine if the only safe place you could find was in a bunker in the front lines of a battlefield? And that was the safest place yet for him. He thought, after all, at least I can see the enemy's spear aiming for my chest better than the enemy in hiding trying to stab me in the back. So this man hopped into that bunker, joined that battle, made comrades with those in that particular village, helping them in that particular fight that particular day. At least he was able to rest that particular night, at least for one night, because this man, what came very next for him the night after was those comrades and villagers whom he shared a bunker with. They then sent in a call to the enemy who fought against them to come and get him. It made no sense. Come here, come here. He's hiding among us. Don't come after us. It's him you really want. Come and get him. We'll deliver him over to you. Save our skin for the cost of this man. Sure, we'll make that trade. And that's the trade they did. That's what these villagers did after being rescued by this good man's very hand. Gee, you sure know how to make a guy feel welcomed, huh? The world is filled with many conflicts, wars, battles, and fights that rage and roar. And this man faced more conflicts in his day than perhaps what goes on in this world altogether. Not safe at home, not safe abroad, but safety, brought safety by fighting for one village, only to be betrayed by those villagers in the very next breath. If that were you, if those were your shoes, what would you say when something like that happens? We got tough stuff going on in our day, too. But, you know, truly, some of you might be like, well, my thing ain't got a candle to that. We might feel like things we go through are more than we can bear, but none truly more unbearable than this man's opening story. This man whom I spoke to you about is the man David, who wrote a number of these psalms in God's Word where we're studying today. And even what he went through, those very real things, which I'll recap for us. Even in those things that he dealt with, he gave us some phenomenally powerful words through God, the Holy Spirit, inspiring God's word. And we will read those powerful and impactful words in Psalm 54 today. And I hope you see those powerful and impactful for you today as well. So please join me this morning. I invite you to turn open a Bible, even the Bible in the seat in front of you. You may also turn on a Bible if you brought one on a mobile device. And I encourage you to join me as we read and as we process Psalm 54. What are words that we can say when going through things like these in present or future? Psalm 54 shares with us these words. If you are with us in the Red Bibles, for example, if maybe you have not brought one today, I encourage you, Psalm 54, be encouraged. It's on page 303 in these Red Bibles today. Page 303, Psalm 54 says this, "To the chief musician with stringed instruments, a contemplation of David, when the Ziphites went and said to Saul, 'Is David not hiding with us?'" Verse 1, "Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil." Cut them off, by implication, O God, in your truth. Verse 6, "I will freely sacrifice to you," again, God, "I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble. And my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies." These words this morning in Psalm 54 are planted in the soil of what is seemingly an impossible and insurmountable situation. It's something that starts bad, then proceeds to horrible, and when seemingly can't get any worse, does intensely get worse indeed. And I alluded to this impossible and insurmountable and bad and horrible and intensely worse situation in the introduction just moments ago. You see, David, the man in my introduction, for whom many conflicts, wars, battles, and fights did indeed rage and roar all around him, David began as a hunted man in his hometown. A quick historical catch-up for us, as we might need reminding, or as we might be hearing this for the first time today. King Saul of Israel became enraged and even demonically rampaged to try to kill David in brutal jealousy because David was cherished and chosen by God as a result of his devotion to God and God's preeminent choice of one over another, as God has the prerogative to choose. And King Saul's wickedness and selfishness certainly didn't help his cause. So this King Saul tried to kill David in Israel, their home country. As a result, David fled from Israel into an escaped, weird situation itself. The enemy to the southern border, that is the Philistines. Active battles going on between Philistia, the land of the Philistines, and Israel, yet David went into the enemy battle territory because that's where he felt more safe. Can you imagine? You might remember this, that which I shared, if you've been with us the past few Sundays or this kind of season. These times, the goings-on of David's heart come to us in earlier psalms that we've even studied, if you were to look at, and I invite and encourage you to turn to the backside of the bulletin and jot some ancillary scripture references as all of God's word comes together in a harmony. So they're not outside, but they're really all together co-joined one to another. So Psalm 34, where we have been in the past, The superscription before verse 1 there, it references this very incident of David fleeing Israel and going to the land of the Philistines. And that can be found in historical Old Testament scripture, additionally in 1 Samuel 21. So that's Psalm 34, referencing 1 Samuel 21, referencing where David had just previously been, fleeing Israel from Saul and having to go to the Philistines. And we also saw this specifically in a few weeks ago's Psalm 52. Again, that superscription, the writing before verse 1, that alludes to 1 Samuel 22. You'll hear me reference a lot of 1 Samuel 21, 1 Samuel 22, 1 Samuel 23, and that which follows, because that's the history, that's the Old Testament narrative scripture of that which these psalms are referring to. Psalm 34 and Psalm 52 and Psalm 53 and today's Psalm 54. And in fact, it could possibly be, some scholars and commentators might think or suggest that these psalms where we've been back to back to back, perhaps maybe were a kind of cohesive unity at one time. Or at least maybe they were penned by David in the same thrust of his life that he went through in 1 Samuel 21 and 22 and 23, coherently with Psalm 52 and Psalm 53 and Psalm 54, where we are today. So these have a lot of historical context shared amongst them. So here in this morning's passage of Scripture, David had prior fled from Israel to the land of the Philistines. Okay, Psalm 52. Then in Psalm 54, from the land of the Philistines, where he was ratted out there, back to Israel again. There was fighting all around David, like I mentioned. Not just Saul, the king of your own homeland, trying to kill you, but the Philistines, where you felt the only safe place you could find, trying to kill your own fellow people, the Israelites. And you're one of them. You are an enemy in enemy land. So they were coming after you too. And so this is actually what David did, and this is 23, where David fled from the Philistines back into the southern portion of Israel and helped his Israelite countrymen fight the Philistines where he just came from. How many of you are confused already? Yeah, me too! Yes, imagine having that much chaos and confusion running from the left and the right, from your so-called countrymen and friends and your enemies. There is no place that is safe. There is no direction from which you feel unassailed. And all the same, I want you to understand what David did in his fleeing. He left the Philistines and went back into Israel, and he helped his countrymen fight the Philistines. Like I mentioned, David sort of feeling the only safe place he could be was in a bunker on the front lines of a battlefield. But yet, it wasn't just selfish that David did this. It was because he loved his brethren. I don't know if this is something you can wrap your mind around. I had a hard time doing that in sermon prep this week. Because when I'm going through it, when I'm having tough stuff in my life, I am a big baby. It's just confessions of a senior pastor. I just get all selfish and don't care about anybody else. And I'm like, my things need to stop being bad. It's just I don't have any other frame of reference. But David, when his life was upside down, backwards, and sideways, and he saw across the border in his homeland that theirs was also upside down, backwards, sideways, and under attack, David put his own wild running and fleeing on the shelf, and he went to help his friends. This is incredible, and it shows David's character. Diverting his hardship to help, seeking others and freeing them from hardship despite the fact that you're going through hardship yourself. A again. It was a tough road of empathy for me trying to imagine that happening, because as much as you might think I'm just this halo-wielding, holy-levitating kind of person, I go, no, I ain't doing that. I'm taking care of my stuff first. You know, I'm fixing my life before I help others. Don't worry, I've thrown myself under the bus enough. I won't ask if any of you will join me. That rhetorical question can just stay private. But all the same, this is what David did. What a man of godly character. Scripture's right, and God was right when, in choosing David over Saul to be the next king of Israel, God said, this is a man after my own heart. In fact, we will see this in the conclusion, but this is precisely a pointing forward for what Jesus did. When his life was hard, he sought forward for future joy to free us from a hard life of sin. And that is the cross. Now, back to David, the sort of preface, the pointing forward to Jesus here. One might think, if we were thinking, especially if you're thinking like me selfishly, okay, hey, David's got to have some rewards coming. He shelved his own hardship and hurt in order to help. God certainly would be pleased with that and would bail David out. David probably didn't do this for selfish purposes, but God probably has got to have some rewards coming for David, right? The outcome, seemingly wrong. The very people whom David joins to fight and help them be freed from their enemies, those very same people turned on him and sent notice to King Saul that David was hiding among them so Saul could come and get him. What in the world? When it rains, it pours. Has something like this, maybe not running from attack of enemy, but has something that has been seemingly bad turned even worse in your life? I don't know. Relate in some way. I'm just throwing some things out there, like basement floods, and then the dog dies, and the clothes dryer breaks, and then you all get the stomach bug, and you get a pay cut at work, and a relative gets diagnosed with cancer, and someone crashes the car, and you literally cannot take one more thing. You are about ready to snap. You have no idea where to turn to. Well, in these very moments, this is David, but he got you. David got you. He tells us what to do. Psalm 54 was written in this most intense circumstance. The superscription, the preface of Psalm 54 is what is that context. The Ziphites, a region, the people living in the region of Keilah in the southern part of Israel, those were those of David's own countrymen whom he helped. And right after he bailed them out in battle, they went and snitched on him and shared with Saul, David's here, come and get him. And this is Psalm 54. And David says, in moments as bad as that, do these two things. You ready, friends? These two things in moments like these. Talk to God and talk to yourself. I'm going to share that again. Would you join me in sort of like maybe even saying that again, processing that with me? Talk to God and then talk to yourself. This is what David did, and we see this in Psalm 54. This is the context. This is the worst and lowest moment of David's life, arguably. And in the first three verses, David talks to God. In Psalm 54, verses 1 through 3, this is David's prayer of petition to God. David says, save me, O God, by your name and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. And David explains why, which we have heard, strangers oppressed me, sought after me, these kinds of things. This is 1 Samuel 23. Again, this is the reference, the region of Keilah, the people who are from Ziph, the Ziphites. They were turning against David even after he just helped them. And the first thing David does is he talks to God about it. And this might sound like, you know, kind of more of the same, especially if you've read or if you've studied the Psalms together. Yeah, we get it, Pastor. David's going through hard times, King Saul and other people and henchmen and all stuff. Can't relate. But all the same, we might be able to. Okay, hang with me here. There's something in our lives that we can relate to. We might not have a king trying to kill us. We might not literally be in a bunker in a battlefield. But what we have here in Psalm 54 and the context in 1 Samuel 23 are David's own countrymen who have done something that's not very nice. There, did I make that vague enough? Can we relate to that? And some of you are like, now I'm feeling way closer to David and being attacked murderously by Saul. I got way worse than just people not being nice to me, Pastor. You're too nice saying it that way. Come on now. Get into it now. To specify what I described in the introduction here, David left his fleeing from Saul in order to help his countrymen, and one commentator describes it like this. To be betrayed by Saul, who specifically was helped by Doeg the Edomite, Psalm 52, if you remember that with us, this had hardly been a surprise. Okay, a guy who's like just wildly, sort of demonically ravenous in his assailing of David. Maybe that's not surprising, commentator says. But now David finds himself rejected by men of his own tribe. Maybe to this you can relate. Stabbed in the back by a friend. Treated like trash by a boss who you worked so hard for. Left out to dry by a landlord or some other legal situation, even if you've been nothing but faithful and good to them your whole life, whether malicious or, it's just the cost of doing business, it still hurts. It still puts us in a bind, in an unsettled place. We'll see even more of this next week, Psalm 55. I'm not foreshadowing this so you can get ahead and be like, man, to hear another downer sermon, I much rather would just stay under the, you know, take pastor pillow and sister sheets, you know, Church of the Holy Comforter. That'll be better for me than hearing another one of these from Pastor Jason. You know, Psalm 55 perhaps gets even more to the core of what maybe some of us are going through, because here these are, I mean, David calls them strangers, you know, people who are related in nationality but maybe not intimate in terms of family. Come back next week. Because Psalm 55 elaborates deeply with David saying, if it was an enemy, I could take it. But you know who's turned against me? One who's a good friend. We went and worshiped in the house of the Lord together. Yeah, that's next week. Come back. So even more, David is somehow at the end of his rope, and yet somehow he's not so voice dry to be silenced. Because what he does is he talks first to God. So in our times like that, the first few verses here are a good counsel to us. Friends, what do we do, or who do we talk to in times of trouble like these? Talk to God. God has compassion and hears your prayer. You'll hear me say later, it might take a while for his response, but to talk to God is far better than to not. So this is what we need to do as we talk to God. This is a wise and just counsel in your plight or mine. Talk to God. Now, the second thing David does here in Psalm 54, verses 4 through the first part of verse 5, and it's echoed again later on in this psalm, is David talks to himself. Verse 4 starts off with an attention-grabbing sentiment, with himself, ourselves, being the audience. Behold! As in, listen up! And if you look at the rest of verse 4, it's not a prayer. Verse 4, David has stopped praying by then. A good reminder too, like, if you are not used to talking to God, can you read Psalm 54, verses 1 through 3? Yep. That's a prayer. Make it yours by having it be from your voice. And it's a short prayer at that. That'll work. God loves to hear from us. We need to talk to God in our times of trouble. But verse 4, you will notice, I hope, is no longer a prayer anymore. David says, behold, like, listen up, here we are. God is my helper. David is speaking in now third person, sort of distant party, about God, not to him. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. David is speaking to himself. David reminds himself in his self-speech of the faithfulness and come-through-itness of God. David's not just mumbling and grumbling to himself. Yeah, how many of us do that really well? Y'all are embarrassed to admit that, but I won't. Dad, you all right? You know, this is not what David is saying to himself. In verse 4 and the first part of verse 5, David is getting his attention, his own attention. Behold, listen up, David. David speaking. God is the one who will help you. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. It is God who will repay my enemies for their evil. David is reminding himself of the faithfulness of God, and we would be wise to remind ourselves of these things the same. This ought not to be a foreign concept, by the way. Talk to yourself. This is all over the Psalms. And I hope that we don't just come to church on a Sunday and then forget that which was read and sung and preached on a Monday. That is pointless for us. If we are here, let us dig deeply here and see the richness of this truth, these wonderful theological truths all throughout the Psalms. For example, the two-psalm unity that we looked at earlier in this spring, that's Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, and we will or should have that on the screen here. This is a different psalmist, by the way, but reminding us of talking to ourselves, these words. Can we get the next slide on the screen here? There it is. Psalm 42, 5 and 11 and Psalm 43, 5 says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Last Sunday, if you were with us, we saw biblical repetition is valuable. The Psalm 53 from last week was an absolute word-for-word practical reiteration of Psalm 14. The Bible repeats itself, and it's good for us to be reminded of the scriptural truths that are therein. And here are three separate verses that are exactly the same. And they are exactly reminders for us to talk to ourselves. Hope in God. He is the one you will praise because he is the one who will save you, this says. The great preacher and commentator Martin Lloyd-Jones writes these often repeated words. They are a personal favorite of myself and many who struggle and suffer and need reminders of God's salvation and faithfulness. Jones writes this. Have you realized? This is profound. Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Take those thoughts, for example, that come to you the moment you wake up in the morning. You have not originated them, but they bring back the problems of yesterday, and we listen to them and give in to their discouragements. Instead, Jones says, regarding the faithful biblical realities of God, stand up and say, self, listen for a moment. I will speak to you. What to say to ourselves, the very things about what we are to talk to ourselves about. And I don't mean to one another, okay? If you're sitting next to Shmoopy right now, this is not an elbow to the ribs moment. Yeah, you better be ready on the ride home. I'm going to speak to you. No, this is not what I mean. This is a oneself, go on, done, speak to oneself. Like where you go ahead and either by yourself or sometimes out loud, you know, the more senses you use, the better it sticks. You speak to yourself. Trust me, I mean, like, my reservation in the home is already set. I myself am young and talking to myself already. You know what I mean? I'm just going to be, when that time comes, I'm going to be in the corner of some place and the nurse will be like, he done spoke to himself all day and he's just, that's what he does. He's speaking to himself all the time. Oh, just let it be. That's going to be me in the corner. You come and visit me sometime and I'll just be talking to myself. What it is that we speak to ourselves is to be the faithful promises of God. Specifically, that's what we see in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 and Psalm 54, is that which is true. Behold, hey, listen up, self. God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He, God, will repay my enemies for their evil. So these two realities of talking to God, right, so far, so good, praying, talking to God, and talking to yourself to remind yourself of the goodness and the faithfulness and the promises of God. This continues in Psalm 54 in the remaining verses as well. The second half of verse 5, if you would with me here, the second half of verse 5 is David back, talking to God again, not talking back, but he's back, he's returning once again to prayer, to talking to God. The second half of verse 5, cut them off in your truth. Simple little prayer. God, help me get through this. There you go. Can you pray that? Mm-hmm. Whether you're good at praying or not, whatever that means. God desires to hear from you no matter whether you're eloquent or seemingly impotent in what you say. God, help me through this. Cut them off. I need you to save me. Verse 6, another prayer. I will freely sacrifice to you. This is David now rejoicing, not just praying bitterly, seemingly so, but rejoicing. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. And then verse 7, David back to talking to himself again. Verse 7 again, for he, David is speaking in third person of God to himself. Self, remember, he, God, is the one who delivers me out of all my trouble. Talking to God in prayer, even and especially in life's most unforgiving and troubling circumstances. And talking to ourselves, not about how terrible and troubling life is, but trust me, that stuff is heard enough, okay? But talking to ourselves in reminding our own selves about how God is good and will eventually come through in his good and providential way. This is important. This is pivotal, especially because these things take time. David's deliverance took time. You heard me say next week we'll hear another situation where David's prayer to God and speaking to himself wasn't answered and wasn't very helped, seemingly so, because God is patient in how he works and how he responds, which is why talking to God and talking to ourselves is a perfect practice in our patience. and while we wait. And oftentimes, while we wait, while it rains, it might continue to pour, requiring us to talk more to God and talk more to ourselves, even more about how faithful God is and how difficult our lives might be. And this is just a quick pause, but how many of us have seen this practiced in the lives of others? I mean, we all get that social media rant from someone or from everyone, an email or a voicemail of bad news. I'm not even talking about that anamorphic 16-by-9-inch idolatrous box where we turn on the TV and everything bad is on. You know what I'm saying? Right? But how fresh and refreshing is it when you hear from someone and they're like, man, I've been going through a really hard week. But you know what? God is still good and we'll find a way through it. That is just an uplifting to other people's souls. How about it? How about we try that? No matter how hard life is for you, David wrote Psalm 54 in the hardest, arguably, place in his life. He said, you know what? As hard as it is, strangers, oppressors coming after me, I'm still going to hope in God because, you know, God's got it. And I'll just patiently wait because I still trust in him. He'll save me from this. That is a joy to others around. And as well, it is a joy for us now to transition to communion because we can see that God is a God who can relate. You heard me mention earlier that David's betrayals in the Psalms are not isolated to him. They're not just historical preface for what you are going through. They are a Psalms pointing forward to Jesus' betrayal that sent him to the cross for all who believe. You see, when Jesus was preparing to sacrifice his life for us, when Jesus had his last supper with his followers, there was a showing of the debilitating and devastating things that Jesus was about to go through. Jesus' last supper was, in essence, the last solace he had. What followed technically in the garden where Jesus talked to God and thereby also talked truths of God's faithfulness to himself, that was the last solace because there Jesus was betrayed by a friend. And previously when Jesus preached, even and especially in a place's hometown or away, Jesus was not welcomed. Jesus healed and rescued and helped people, but Jesus was still rejected. Like David helped and rescued people in the region of Keilah, the Ziphites, in 1 Samuel 23, and David was rejected and betrayed. And every single one of those closest followers of Jesus at the Last Supper, they all fled when Jesus was taken in. Others like Peter, arguably Jesus' closest pal, vulgarly and vehemently denied Jesus to his face that very same night. Like we will see those who denied and disgraced David, who were David's closest friends, if you'll join us next week. Friends, when we go through times of trouble, we can talk to a God in Jesus Christ who knows our trouble and himself has gone through far worse. And if we're willing to talk to ourselves, if we're willing to remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God, then we can remember and remind ourselves of this God of all empathy, who is God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, on our side. So as we prepare for communion, as we see David's hardship forward in Jesus and his hardship that he went through for us, let's practice this Psalm 54 together and talk to God and talk to ourselves of the faithfulness of the God on our side. Please join me as we pray. God, I ask and pray that you would hear our hearts' cries, that you would hear our hardships that we go through, that you, O God, would move and cause us, even at our wits' end, even at the end of our ropes, to do these two things of Psalm 54. Talk to you, and not be so exasperated that we feel like we can't pray anymore, or we feel like you, O God, don't hear anymore. That precisely when we are so exasperated and such at the end of our rope, we precisely and exactly in that moment need to talk to you. So I ask and pray this, that you, O God, would stir within us a new passion for prayers. Those us here who will pray, and even the simple prayers like, help me, God, I'm going through it today. And secondly, I ask and pray that not to be forgotten, I pray that you would lead us, O God, to talk to ourselves and not listen to our own circumstances and our own selves in their own bad and horrible ways, but instead that you, O God, would give us the truths of Scripture, remind us of the things like David was reminding himself of. Behold, it is God who will save. It is God who will move, who stands with me and those who were with me, and God will come through against my enemies and against the things that are against God and me. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. He is my Savior. I pray and I ask, O God, that these two things, these two truths, talking to you and talking to ourselves, would be new habits and new practices we begin even now, even today.